Forward in Faith. It's next. Never has the world been more confused and the scriptures been more exciting than today. Forward in Faith invites you to listen to the international voice of the Church of God, Pastor Loran Livingston, as he ministers to his vast congregation of the Central Church of God in Charlotte, North Carolina. Stay with us now as Loran gives answers from God's Word to guide you forward in faith. And now, here's Loran Livingston.
We are mere paupers when it comes to things. We have nothing. They aren't ours. Whatever you have, you got from God for the express purpose of giving back to God. I think it is mind-blowing that when in Luke chapter 3, we find John the Baptist baptizing, it mentions three groups of people that come to him for baptism. The people, tax collectors, and soldiers. So they're baptizing. These people are coming out of the water. Now they're all gathered around John. And the people said, "Now what shall we do?" Because John has come to prepare people for the kingdom. They're baptizing into the kingdom. And they said, "Now what do we do?" And John said to the people, "If you have two tunics, give one away." He didn't say develop a prayer life and didn't say find you a nice synagogue and join it. He said, "If you got two coats, give one away." Then the tax collectors came up and said, "Well, what shall we do?" He said, "Don't take money that isn't yours. Don't pocket extra cash. Don't steal." Again, he didn't say get in a discipleship program. He said, "Don't mishandle money." Then the soldiers came up, said, "All right, what do we do now?" He said, "Don't ever intimidate people with your position and be content with your wages." That's all he said. Money. I want to remind you, he never said the first thing about church membership or missions trips. He said it's all important how you start looking at, viewing, and handling the money that God has given you. I wonder if there are five people in this building who are content with their wages right now. Just five. I wonder if there are five that aren't trying to get more so they can get more. You see, there's a contentment that accompanies entering the kingdom of God that the church in America needs to enjoy. We need to understand the fact that when we get Christ, we get everything. We don't have to beat our brains out trying to get more things. God will supply our needs. We live in a country that demands more of everything. I don't care what it is, and I don't care who you are. You want more. We want more. We deserve more, and it doesn't matter how we get it. Whether we work harder, ruin our families, split up our marriages, or expect the government to do it, we want more. But the scriptures teach us to be content. Paul said, "I know how to have a lot, and I know how to have a little, and I can get along with both. I have learned to be content in any state I dwell." Go back to the soldiers. John said, just be content with your wages. So what's the point of scripture that the American church seems to be missing all together? Because the American church is an affluent church. We're a money-minded church. We think we can't do ministry without money. We think people won't come unless we build a fantastic building, an opulent sanctuary. We think that it's all about presentation and opportunities. But that's not what the scriptures teach us. In fact, if you go to Matthew chapter 6, you will see something that you've read many, many times. And I do this. I read it and read it and read it, but I don't know that I get it. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth." Does that sound like a commandment? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Next one. But lay up for yourselves. See, it's not about laying up for yourself. It's where you lay things up. Oh, this must be the 8:30 crowd. That's fine. That's fine. But lay up for yourselves. You do it. You make a commitment. You make a decision. You crunch the numbers. And you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, if that weren't necessary, Jesus wouldn't teach it. You think when you get to heaven, all you're going to do is just be, this was my concept for years, in some robe with some glow around your face, just walking around, and I never did figure out what we would be doing. But heaven is a place where there is an economy. There is a system. There is a lifestyle. There is government. There will be leaders and there will be followers. Jesus is saying, don't waste your money down here. Don't lay it up down here, because if you keep it here, it's going to pass away. It won't matter. But if you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, then no moth can get it or rust can corrode it and a thief can't steal it. Do you see what he's saying? Go to the next one. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is gospel preaching. Where you put your money is what you're interested in. Where you put your money is where your heart is. Look at your checkbook. Where has your money gone this month? That's where your heart is. Now, folks, he is not talking about taking care of family. You do that. That's your godly responsibility. He's not talking about those things that are necessary for life. He's talking about extraneous, unnecessary, unspiritual, and temporary things that we get all bent out of shape about that are going to burn up one of these days. So he says, if you really want to be smart, you lay up in heaven treasures, because if that's where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. See, too many Christian hearts are still down here. We haven't sent our hearts to heaven yet. That's why Paul said, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. You see, nobody can see Christ yet because he's hidden in God. He hasn't been revealed yet. And he says the same thing about me. You are hidden with Christ in God. The world has never really seen you. You've been born again of the Spirit, but the world has never seen the glory that's coming on you. You've never even seen the glory. But when Christ comes back and is revealed with the holy angels, then we shall be revealed with him in glory. So don't squander treasures down here. See, once you give it, it becomes eternalized. As long as you keep it, as long as it's about extra this and more of that that we really don't need, as long as there are hungry people that we haven't fed yet, and tribes and peoples who haven't heard the gospel yet, then we become totally irresponsible with the treasures of God. When we keep them in our hand, keep them in our pocket, keep them in our church without sending it out. Only when I say, this came from God, this must go back to God, does that in my hand become eternalized. I made that term up. I didn't read it in a book. So if you're looking for it, you won't find it anywhere. I made it up. It becomes eternalized. At that moment, instead of being a treasure on earth, it becomes a treasure in heaven. And at that moment, it becomes an asset in your account in heaven. I don't know if you believe this, but it's the truth. I was going to say something really smart, Alec. This is just the truth. You have an account in heaven. Your name is on it. The bookkeepers in glory watch everything you do. whether it's good deeds, acts of kindness, giving a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus. That's what it's all about. You say, well, Jesus really doesn't care about money. Hey, really? Are you kidding me? Why was he standing in a temple looking down at people giving and called the disciples over and said, boys, look at this. You see all those fancy fellas in those expensive garbs? You see all them bishops and priests and, oh, I won't get into the titles. You see all of those heavy hitters out there? They're blowing trumpets and giving extra. It's not costing them anything. They could live without it. They're giving God extra. But I want you to see something. Look right down there. You see that little poor lady who hasn't had a bath in 2 days and her clothes are worn out. You see her humped over because she can't afford a doctor. She just dropped 2 mites in there. It's all she's got. And I'm telling you, she gave more than all of them because she gave out of her need. Our living matches our giving. Our praying is affected by our giving. Isaiah 58 will teach you that lesson. If you struggle praying, start giving. Because when you give to the poor, the needy, the helpless, the homeless, the hurting, when you decide you are a steward of God's blessings, when you decide it's not yours and start distributing it in the name of Christ, he says, then when you pray, the Lord will say, here I am, here I am. You got an account in heaven. It matters. And you're going to need it when you get there. Not me, Pastor. I've never needed money. I'm just going to go to heaven and praise my Lord. I'm just going to sit at his feet and sing. He won't let you. You're supposed to work down here and you'll have to work up there. So what am I doing? You are right now deciding what kind of eternal life you're going to live. By the giving, the working, the sacrifice of right now, you are determining for eternity what position you're going to hold with Jesus. Does that not shock or stir anybody? Right now, on this earth, in these few years, my life, my praying, my giving, my compassion is determining what position, what degree of leadership and authority I will have when I get to heaven. So it makes me want to get down to business. I'm serious. I've come to realize in my life, if I hang on to it, that's all it will ever be to me. When I let it go, it multiplies. And I don't know if you know this or not, but God is a giving God. He gave his son. He gives gifts. He gives good things unto men. If God is in you, that same spirit will control you. And you have to quench it, not to do it. You have to actually say to God's spirit, no, I'm not doing that because I need this. I'm going to need it for the future. Don't you see the condition of our country? Don't you know, Pastor, or don't you know, God, that economies are falling? I need this. I don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. So I'm going to squeeze and pray. No, God says, whatever you give away, you keep forever. Whatever you give away, you keep forever. There is an account to which it is applied. When you get to heaven, you'll get to find out how much is in your account. That's why Paul talked about works. Some works that Christians have done will be burned up. They won't mean a thing. They'll still be saved. But others, which are made of gold and silver and precious stones, can't be burned up by the judgment fire. And they will be rewarded according to their faithfulness. their hunger to give and glorify God. Why? The next verse. Jesus said to him, and him is that rich young guy. After the young guy said, man, I keep the law. He hadn't kept the law. He was deceived into thinking that because he did lots of good things, he was okay with God. Then Jesus said, well, let me tell you where you're missing it here. If you would be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. What you give to the poor will go to your account in heaven. Until you get there, come and follow me. Wow. As a matter of fact, one strange verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6 goes like this. This is my job. Look at me before you look at that. This is what Paul told Timothy. This is what God tells me as your pastor to tell you. Now, you either believe I'm speaking from God or this is just Loran. If you believe I'm delivering you the word of God, then this will set you free. If it's just another preacher. And you know, preachers are a dime a dozen. If I'm just another preacher, go ahead and yawn. Scratch your head. Look at your watch. But if this is from God, the prayer we prayed to open up this service will transform your life. I am to command those who are rich in this present age. And that's all of you. Because you live in America. And that's all of you. Don't say, well, I'm not rich. Yeah, you are. You got stuff. You got extra everything. I don't care where you live. You got extra everything. You have a cell phone? Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Here's what I'm supposed to be telling you. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works. You know, Jesus died for a people who would be zealous of good works. Can't wait to get to work for God. They refuse to sit on a church bench. They refuse just to come on a weekend and observe. They say, that's not what Christianity is. Faith in God makes me get up and get busy and do something for God, not just stare. Tell them to do good works, ready to give, willing to share. Watch this. Storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come. Do you know what that means? Everything I'm doing right now is storing up a foundation, something upon which I can stand when I stand before Jesus. He will look at me. He will look at everything I did. It will give me a solid foundation, but not only for the future, look at this, that they may lay hold on eternal life. That means you don't really know what joy is. You will never comprehend eternal life. You won't ever get a hold of it. Till you learn the joy of giving. The indescribable joy of getting involved in kingdom work. Until you have that moment when God says, they need help, give it to them. And you say, here. You will never know what eternal life is all about till you can let go of everything and own nothing. You know, the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. So where do we come up with this idea? In fact, I said it one time and slapped myself when I got home. I said, I gave one time when it hurt. It hurt to give. The Spirit said, really? Then I didn't get it. Because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. What makes me cheerful about giving? Because I'm acting like God. I'm walking in the steps of Jesus. I'm blessing somebody else. I'm opening up an avenue in my soul for continued blessings in my life. I can't keep it anyway. It'll rot on me like manna did in the wilderness. But if I give it away, eternal life begins to bud up. Faith begins to increase. Joy will explode. And I'll know what the true essence of walking by faith is all about. So, I'm on alert. I am on alert in my life right now. Sandra and I are on high alert as a couple and as your leaders. Folks, Jesus is coming. We need to start thinking eternally. We need to get rid of it. We don't need to have stuff stored up, tanked away. You say, well, I'm going to give it to my children. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? If you do that, your children might say thank you. But if you give it to God, God will forevermore say thank you. It's eternal glory that you're going to get. Why would we do anything except lay up treasures in heaven? One of the scriptures that turns me on my head is about Moses in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming, watch, the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked, look at this, look at me. For he looked past the treasures and looked at the reward that was coming someday. Next verse. There isn't one. You see what he said? He looked around at the temporary stuff, the gold, the silver, the fine food, the amenities of life. Woo, he had it made. He had chariots, the finest. He had sandals, the finest. He had everything. But something in this man looked past that. He said, this will burn down. This will burn up. This will pass away. One day this nation won't even exist. But I'm looking past all of that. I'm looking at a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm looking at a place in heaven that will never pass away and a kingdom that will never fall down. That's where I'm making my investment. And although he spent the next 80 years of his life struggling, he happens to be mentioned in the Bible now because he looked past today and he saw tomorrow and said, today will pass, but that day is coming. You've heard me before. I'm going to say it again. You ought to be living every day inside of that day, because today is going to pass away, but that day will always be. And that's the day we will see him face to face. Hallelujah. And I want to hear him, not a representative, not an assistant, executive assistant, not an angel. I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Enter into the joys of your Lord. Can somebody say hallelujah?
You may receive an audio CD of the message you've just heard for a $5 contribution. In requesting CDs, please give the date on which you heard the broadcast. Write to Forward in Faith, P.O. Box 2430, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. Or you may order through our toll-free number, 1-800-251-4024. Again, that number is 1-800-251-4024. Forward in Faith is a listener-supported broadcast. Please send your contributions to Forward in Faith, P.O. Box 2430, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320.